You can't listen to that voice. You cannot listen to it. You got to say, hey, that's the wheel of doom. Get out of my mind. Don't enter my mind. Tell me what I can't do. And it is so powerful. And I got a stack of stuff over here about how important it is to have that wheel of fortune and not the wheel of doom. So fight that all the time. Purchase facilitators. We talked about the things that make customers want to buy from us. And you notice value comes up twice. These are in alphabetical order. Talked about availability, importance of it. Stressing right down the street. Familiarity. Takes 7, 8, 10 contacts. Price should not be a facilitator. But a lot of guys go in and say, hey, I can sell it to you for less. That's insanity. I can sell it to you for less. I can reduce your costs. I can cut your setup time. Those kinds of things. Okay. Product uniqueness, quality, relationship. And we need to be talking value and have value statements in our mind all the time. Like, what were the value statements that the white paper salesperson should have used? Does anybody remember the value statements in that phone call?
How much paper you use?
No, I'm talking about the value statements. When the proper salesperson at the white paper company got on the phone, he immediately gave two...
How many employees do you have?
No, I'm not talking questions.
I'm talked about his own company.
Yes, right. That's exactly right, Jim. Do you remember what he said? Does anybody remember what he said?
Been in business for over 60 years.
Yeah, it was 80 years. Been in business solving paper problems for over 80 years. And then there was another value statement. Does anybody remember what that was?
They can fix almost anything.
No, well, yeah, they did say they could fix anything, but they said they had something on staff. There were three paper scientists on staff. Three paper scientists on staff that could solve any paper problem. And I've been in the Detroit metropolitan market working on paper problems for how long? 15 years is what was said yesterday. But that's having just locked value statements in here. So when you start off the conversation, the value statements just come right out. And what does that do? That gets the customer thinking, wow, I'm working with the right people now, thank God, you know.
Automatically gain confidence.
Gain confidence, and price becomes less of an issue. We talked about profit in that first order, that first big order I got, which I sold for $22,500, whoop-de-doo. Took the profits from there down to there. Oh, totally outrageous. We talked about relationship selling. It's not about some manipulative technique. We're going to reverse close somebody. I mean, we're not going to do that. We're going to develop a relationship with a customer at his pace based on what he wants to do. But we got to remember that we got to keep going with the thing. We can't get frustrated and stop. It's an ongoing thing. Helping a customer. We talked about these guys out here that are all that are easy to sell, you know, God bless them, but they're going to be gone. These guys in here are all set. We got to take the competitors away, and it's not going to be easy to do. It's going to get them into a purchase cycle, which could be as long as a year. And while that's going on, we got to stay in touch consistently and regularly. We talked about a newsletter. We talked about auto faxing, auto emailing, working with the customers on a regular basis. Purchase cycle is compression is possible, but that's like looking for the easy way out. It's just not the way to do business. The top sales guys are not, how can I get this guy to buy a whole thing right now? You know, they're not thinking that. They're thinking about how can I lock up this whole customer? What can I do to really win this guy's trust? We talked about this fantastic cost of use example, and you could copy this thing and give it to customers. Anybody that argues with this has got to have their head examined. There's nothing wrong with saying that, hey, $6 is too high of a price versus $4 what I'm paying now. But, sir, can I show you this chart that I got from this guy in this program? Talked more about the cost of use. Now, this pertains to batteries, but carbide is just like that. If we can get more for your stuff or get it out faster, we're going to reduce your cost of use. That's the key. We talked about behaviors, status. It's so easy for engineers to blow people's status. I remember we brought an engineer out to a customer one time when I was in the field. And a guy said to this customer, I can't believe you're using caramel on that job. I mean, how offensive could you be? What are you, some kind of idiot using caramel on that? You know? I mean, it's basically where I'm going, oh my God almighty, you know. So, you know, status is the key. We can ask permission for stuff we normally wouldn't ask permission for. We don't want to be too hokey on this, Mike, and I'm agreeing with you there. You know, it's got to be normal and natural. But you'd be amazed at how natural it comes after you start practices and you start getting feedback that, wow, that was pretty impressive. May I sit down here? Is it all right if I do this? You know, things like that. Not, you know, you don't want to go overboard with the idea. But if I take something away from somebody and rip it up, even though it's mine, it is offensive. So if you, and the guy didn't ask permission, if you do ask permission, seems to me you get some positive effect as a result of that. And that's got to do with the status. Look for things to say nice about people. If you go into somebody's office and you know, it's just squared away, or the guy's in good shape or whatever, or just the guy's a decent guy, you know, whatever it is, you know, let them know.